What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 186, part two of the Massive Breakdown podcast. We last left you guys with the European primary weapons, and now, without too much ado, we are going to continue on with the European special and heavy weapons. Before we get started, Kit Kutcher, you got anything to add, or you want to hop right into talking about some guns?
Hey, I say we go ahead and just dive right in here. For once, no 10-minute preludes.
For once. Okay, guys. So first off, we have Bone Chiller. Bone Chiller is the Void Precision Slug Shotgun. That means its biggest competition right now is things like Gnora's Axe from Iron Banner, Good Bone Structure from the Gunsmith, and First In, Last Out from the World Engrams from last season, I believe, as well as Blasphemer from Altars of Sorrow. The Blasphemer from Altars of Sorrow is, I believe, Sunset, and also it is a kinetic weapon, so it's not really tremendously competitive with this.
That said, I think in terms of how they feel, for me, Blasphemer's the closest comparison. I think this gun feels amazing. I think it's phenomenal.
Yeah, the precision slug shotguns also are kind of similar to combat bows, precision frame combat bows, where they have a very, very specific like perk models, kind of, with a few small exceptions, which we're going to talk about today. So for the most part, they all have about the same range. They're all between 62 or 59 and 70 range. Bone Chiller is towards the lower end at 60. Stability, they're all between 46 and 54. Bone Chiller again towards the lower end at 47. Reload speed, they're all between 46 and 53. Bone Chiller kind of in the middle there at 48. And then handling, this is where they're different. Handling is with the Blasphemer model, where it has lower handling. So First In, Last Out, Good Bone Structure, Gnora's Axe, those are all Suros slug shotguns, and they're all at 64 or higher. Whereas Blasphemer is at 49 and Bone Chiller is at 42, which is actually an interesting departure. Inventory, they're about the same, so how much you can hold in reserve is about the same. Aim assist, now here's the trade-off. You get lower handling with the Bone Chiller and the Blasphemer. You get much higher aim assist. So First In, Last Out, Good Bone Structure, Gnora's Axe, they're all between 27 and 35 aim assist. Both Blasphemer and Bone Chiller have 61 aim assist. Now, unfortunately, Bone Chiller does have, I believe, 5 in the magazine as the default instead of 6, which is what all the other slug shotguns have. But for PvP purposes, that's not really that big of a deal. And the magazine size is easily increased for PvE purposes if you are using it for boss damage, which, although nobody really seems to like to do this because you have to stand right next to the boss, in my opinion, the slug shotguns are actually really, really great for boss damage, in particular with some special rolls.
Yeah, I was actually advised. Plotting to get into the raid this coming Saturday, and I was advised to farm myself a solid slug shoddy roll. So I think it's out there. I think people are doing it. Yeah. If you're with the right group.
Nobody really pays attention to it, but with the right magazine perks and triple tap, I think there's some slug shotguns where you can shoot like 11 slugs in a row if you hit all crits before you actually run out of ammo, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, with Bone Chiller, if you can get the right, so I think you have to get like appended mag or tactical mag or something, and if you throw a backup mag on there, you could be at 7, which would give you enough rounds to get to 10 with triple tap. Now, ideally, of course, you don't want to be using backup mag. You want to be using like a boss damage perk, right? Or a boss damage mod, excuse me. But so if you can pull, you know, one of the other ones, which I guess are any of them not capped at this point? First In, Last Out is the only other one in the energy slot, right?
Yeah, I believe so. Last Out just came from last season, I think.
Yeah.
Back, so.
And I guess I don't recall if it's got triple tap on it. I'm not sure that it does, but.
Well, while you're looking that up, I'm going to talk about the perks. So the wonderful thing about the slug shotguns is that they actually have like a little bit of a range cap on them. And what that means is you no longer need to try getting to like 100 range. It's not actually going to push your one-hit kill damage out any further than that. So what I generally like to do is I like to go range in the barrel, and then I like to basically ignore range statistically, because that frees up the magazine slot for me. There's a lot more interesting things that you can do in the magazine slot. So as such, if you're looking for range in the barrel, you could do corkscrew rifling for plus 5, but I think that hammer forged rifling at plus 10 would probably be your best bet. Some would say that extended barrel gives you plus 10, but extended barrel also takes away 10 handling speed, and you already don't have great handling speed because of the archetype. So I think Hammerforged Rifling, Small Bore, and then Corkscrew Rifling are going to be your best choices in the barrel slot.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. I definitely do not want to penalize handling any further. So just for comparison's sake, first in, last out, it does not have triple tap. Can't get it. So I think that makes Bone Chiller a pretty solid choice. Even if you just leave the mag at 6, that's still 8 shots without having to reload for boss DPS purposes, which it's nothing to sneeze at. This gun can put out a lot of hurt.
And so if you do want to try to use it with triple tap, then you're going to probably want appended mag or tactical mag. I'm not sure if tactical mag bumps you up by one more. I think it does. I think it brings you to 6. But I guess we should probably check, is it Gunsmith, D2 Gunsmith?
Yeah, it does. It does bring you to 6.
So the wonderful thing about the way the magazine perks work is that they don't all work the way you expect them to. So extended mag, unfortunately, only also brings you to 6. So don't use extended mag. Always use tactical mag if you can, because tactical mag not only brings you to 6, but also gives you plus 10 to reload speed. This is if you are using this gun specifically for, boss DPS. If you are not, I like to use assault mag, because assault mag actually ups the rate of fire by 10.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a
yeah.
much better option in PvP. It's also arguably a better option in PvE, because you can increase your DPS, if the DPS phase is short enough that you don't feel like you're going to be able to get all 10 shots in anyways. So I like assault mag. Tactical mag would be my second choice. If you don't manage to get range in the barrel slot, then you can use accurized rounds or light mag. Like I said, stay away from extended mag, stay away from steady rounds.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, you know, no real argument here. I think this gun is pretty straightforward. I think assault mag and tactical mag are easily the two best choices here, just depending on which way you want to take this gun, because you can easily take it toward a more PvP focused, or you can take it straight into the boss DPS build. Looking at the next column, six perks in each of the trade slots. You've got lead from gold, which I guess in PvE, like, I'm not upset about it, but I don't feel like it's super helpful. There are definitely better choices that I would rather have. Auto-loading holster is always nice to have on this gun. And for PvP, that actually, I think, is a pretty decent perk to pick up in this slot, just to make sure that you never have to waste time reloading.
Yeah, for PvP, I would probably prioritize firmly planted, because it increases your accuracy when you're crouched, and the slug shotguns, because they are one-shot kills, are fantastic at sliding around a corner or sliding into an engagement, so firmly planted should almost always be proc'd by the time you pull the trigger. It especially pairs well in the next slot with opening shot. It basically doubles up on like your maximum accuracy when you're entering into an engagement. Dual loader is also interestingly not bad, even though it kills your reload speed. They actually timed this out and they recorded it in game. It's actually faster to fully reload with dual loader than it is reloading one by one, because it puts two in at a time. So even though it kills the reload speed by 50, remember that there's a floor on reload speed that it can't go below. So it actually doesn't kill the reload speed by as much as you think it does, because it hits the floor, and then all the rest of the stat that it drops down to like 10 or whatever doesn't matter. It's not actually at that low of a reload speed, right? So dual loader is actually pretty nice. Surplus, we talked about that. I don't think Surplus is a competitor in this trade slot. And then obviously if you're in PvE and you're doing it for boss damage, triple tap is absolutely the way to go for boss damage.
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, part of the reason that I'm okay giving firmly planted a pass is because the Nyx trade slot does have opening shot, and I don't feel like it's necessary to have both of those. I also, you know, and this may just be me, but I don't find myself landing the crit as consistently when sliding with a slug shotgun. I feel like it's harder to land the headshot when you're angled slightly up. There's just something about the way, I guess, maybe that the targeting works, that the hitbox for the head works, where it's, for me, it just feels slightly harder to hit from that angle. And I don't feel like firmly planted makes up for that. So I tend to hit it while standing up, or I'll run like an Icarus grip and I'll try to hit them from above, which actually feels fantastic.
Icarus grip is fantastic on slug shotguns. It really, really makes a huge difference. It's interesting that you like firmly planted on primary weapons, which I can't seem to get the hang of on primary weapons, but I prefer firmly planted on this situation where you don't like it. So it's kind of an interesting turn of events.
It is kind of, I think it's because I tend to play my primaries. I feel like I almost play them the opposite of how you play them, where I tend to play a primary as a defensive weapon, as something passive, where I'm holding a control point, or I know that someone is about to come around a corner and I'm backing up and crouching to get, you know, the kind of the default stability bonus from crouching. So I'm much more likely to be triggering firmly planted. But with a special weapon, you know, if I'm playing a shotgun, I'm playing super aggressive, and so crouching slows me down, which, you know, I'll still slide, but I often don't take the shot while I'm sliding. I don't know why. It's just
unless you're a Titan with the aspect that allows you to slide twice as far and accelerate and shatter ice, in which case you should absolutely be using firmly planted.
If you can slide 25 meters, I mean, by all means, firmly planted.
I think they can legitimately slide 12 meters, though. I think that's what it is. I think it, like, doubled their slide distance. But
yeah, regardless, that sounds about right.
So the next perk slot is Demolitionist. Demolitionist is pretty good. I think it's less good on a special than it is on a primary.
So I want to disagree with that just solely for boss damage purposes, because the oft-forgot second part of Demolitionist is that activating your grenade reloads this weapon from reserves. So you can, if you've got a long enough DPS phase, triple tap your way through your magazine, throw a grenade at the boss, and do it again. All without ever having to spend any time reloading, which is just a phenomenal combo. So in the right circumstances, I think Demolitionist is just absolutely gold on this weapon. That said, there are some other great perks here too.
That is true, and despite the fact that we had literally just talked about triple tap and boss damage, I had completely forgotten it, and it was going to jump straight ahead to opening shot, which is my favorite perk of all time to get on a slug shotgun. Improved accuracy and range on the opening shot and attack. Secondarily, I also, again, because I'm a sucker, I really like Dragonfly, even though there's absolutely no reason for me to be using it on this. But Slideways is not particularly useful in this. It does partially reload a portion of your magazine, which is, I will say that is an underrated aspect of what it does, especially in PvP where people often forget about it, because you can exit an engagement, slide, automatically have one or two shots back in there, and you're good to go for the next engagement. I personally, the only reason I don't like it more is because opening shot is there, and I think opening shot is a, you know, gold tier perk on slug shotguns. It also has a new perk called One for All, which is a really interesting perk. Hitting three separate targets increases damage for a moderate duration. That I have found to be relatively easy to proc in PvE, almost impossible to proc in PvP, despite me trying a significant amount. The timer is relatively short on it, so if you don't really hit three targets fast, it is very difficult to proc. So I have not been able to get the hang of that one in PvP yet.
You would definitely need a salt mag if you were going to try to use that in PvP.
Yeah. And then last is Threat Detector. Threat Detector's increased reload stability and handling when enemies are in close proximity. Threat Detector is a very interesting perk for PvE, because depending on the boss phase you're in, you will sometimes have it proc'd when you're doing DPS, in which case it is a fantastic perk, because you simply just crouch down for the entire damage phase and, you know, fire away. It would be especially great with a dual loader, because it would basically negate the entire penalty, stat penalty from dual loader, and allow you to double load shells and continue to fire. So if you do not get Demolitionist and you are looking for a PvE boss damage perk, then I would probably recommend Threat Detector.
Yeah, I would agree with that. If you don't have Demolitionist, or if you just want kind of a perk that's, you know, more, it's still good for that boss DPS, but maybe less reliant on having your grenade up, or useful in some other situations in terms of getting your reload speed up, Threat Detector is really, really solid for PvE. But like you discussed, I mean, if you've got a slug shotgun and you're going to take it into the Crucible without opening shot, you're just missing out. And I want to say too, I've been using Bone Chiller in PvP without opening shot because I haven't been able to get it to drop with it yet, it's still really good. Like, it's still extremely easy to use. So once it gets, once I get opening shot, like, oh boy, I can't wait.
All right, moving on. We got the Coriolis Force, which is a brand new type of fusion rifle. It's actually, it's called an aggressive frame fusion rifle. It fires a horizontal volley, which is very interesting. I was very excited to give this gun a shot. It also, interestingly, does really high damage for how fast the charge time is. So the charge time is basically as fast as the adaptive ones, which is at basically 0.67 milliseconds, which is very fast considering that Arentol's 0.87 milliseconds, right? However, it actually does 46 damage per bolt as opposed to 38 damage per bolt. So bad thing about that is that for the most part, it still requires 5 bolts to kill, which is a bummer because 5 bolts to kill is pretty much the point where it's like, and I kind of stopped caring about this weapon, right? Like, I'm big on the 4 bolts to kill train with the high impacts, but fusion rifles just as a whole right now, if we exclude Bastion and Telesto and Joen, they're just, the legendaries just aren't doing particularly great. There's a couple of diehards out there who use things like Hollow Worlds and the Epicurean, but for the most part, and I still see people using Arentol every once in a while, but for the most part, they're just really struggling. And unfortunately, Coriolis Force is no exception. We can't really compare the stats to anything particularly, because there's nothing else in the archetype. It's a brand new archetype. But we'll go over many ways. The range is 40, which is pretty low for a fusion rifle. Stability is 43, which is average. Reload speed is 41, slightly above average. Handling is 33, slightly below average. Inventory is 34. Aim assist is 45, which is bad for a fusion rifle. Recoil direction is 50, but at the same time, the recoil direction is entirely flat anyways. Literally, it is a straight horizontal line that shoots out in front of you. And then the mag size is 6. So the problem that I have with Coriolis Force is that the target you're aiming at is a vertical target.
Yeah.
So it is very easy if you get the recoil from a normal fusion rifle stacked vertically, it is easy to aim it like their midriff and let that recoil walk the rest of the bolts up the target. The problem with this is that you have to be close enough to them to hit the 4 center bolts, or the 5 center bolts out of 7 onto the target, which means you basically have to be at or near shotgun distance. It is really what you have to be able to do. You have to treat it more like a shotgun with a fast charge time. I have struggled a lot to try to constrain the bolt spread to make the bolt spread tighter, because I thought if I can make the bolt spread tighter, it would be more effective, which it seems is true. The only ways I've really found to be able to do that are perks that increase accuracy, like Eye of the Storm, and things that increase aim assist, like moving target, and then increasing range as well. Stability did not have the effect on it that I really thought that it would. I thought that maybe stability would bring the horizontal spread in, but it seems that stability just prevents the vertical jump of the gun after you have fired, which doesn't really do a ton, at least in my test. Now, I need to get a few more versions. I've only run through 3 or 4 of these yet, and I haven't, you know, They I'll be honest, they really suck in PvP from what I've seen. In PvE, they're quite fun, but in PvP, they really suck. So I'm still working to try to find something that makes it useful in PvP, not in like a meme usage level.
Have you been able to get one with rangefinder at all to see if that...
I haven't. I've gotten one with... unfortunately, I've gotten one with Unrelenting, one with One for All, which are like the two perks that I wanted the least on it. And then I got one with Eye of the Storm and then Slideways. And Slideways did not do basically anything for it. Eye of the Storm did a bit, but it relies on me basically taking damage before, you know.
Yeah.
So it's not as reliable as I'd like. I'm hoping that Rangefinder does something. But again, they decrease the effect that Zoom has on Fusion Rifle bolt spread. So I'm also thinking that it probably won't do a ton. But... you know, what I have found is that moving target, targeting adjuster mod help, because the aim assist will basically like curve the bolts in towards the target.
Right.
And I've also interestingly found that you do not want to aim as you would on a normal fusion rifle. You don't want to aim at like their feet or their midriff. You want to aim at like their chest, because you get a lot more aim assist pull around the head area than you do around the rest of the body. so your bolts will actually pull in more. When I was testing the maximum lethality distance of this, I could get almost a full meter further by aiming at like the upper chest than I could aiming at like the hips, like I would on a normal fusion rifle. Granted, that said, it was still like 14 freaking meters, right? So it's like a chaperone could outrange this thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I stuck counterbalance mod on it. I tried maximum stability. Like, nothing really seemed to work outside of aim assist and, like, accuracy, the accuracy boosting perk. So I'm very disappointed. I'm going to keep trying because I have a sneaking suspicion that if I can tighten up that bolt spread, because it does so much damage and because it... and because it doesn't have a vertical recoil spread, that if I could tighten that up and then I could get like a charge with light stack or something, I feel like this thing could really shred at some crazy distances, but I just haven't been able to get there yet. So it's kind of hard for me to recommend rolls like, you know, what are you going to freaking do? Like arrowhead break on it, like plus 30 to your recoil direction that, you know, as far as I can tell, the things like recoil direction stability just affect like the actual upward movement of the gun after you fire, which literally doesn't help at all, right? Like from what I was able to see, adding recoil direction to it didn't like rotate the horizontal spread or anything, right? So, you know, I almost don't want to break this one down because I want to spend more time with it because I think maybe there's more depth to it. But for right now, what I'm seeing is that it's just not a particularly great gun for PvP.
So I would 100% agree with that for PvP. I have found that this weapon is actually, in terms of taking fusion rifles into PvE, a pretty solid choice for many of the reasons that it's terrible in PvP. It's extremely high damage for the charge time. I found that I was very much able to melt Lost Sector bosses with extreme ease using this gun, because it's very easy to kind of bunny hop while you're charging and then land for the shot so you don't, you know, just spray the entire room. But it's also great because of the horizontal spread. If you need to take out, say, a group of enemies charging you and you happen to have this gun out, you don't have time to swap, you don't have time to kill them with a primary, you can very easily just, you know, swipe left, swipe right, and spray the room down, which is... Pretty great. I really, really like this gun for PvE so far. And it has Thresh. And this is exactly the kind of gun that I feel like just is stellar to get that perk on. You get that's in your perk slot too. It's for me, I think that right now is the gold tier choice. I don't think there's any reason to for the vast majority of players to worry too much about trying to make this work in PvP. If you're not a dedicated hardcore Vooper, then just take this gun out in PvE and just enjoy melting aliens and getting massive super returns on it. I think it's great. I think it's great right there, and I wouldn't mess with it beyond that. I guess if you don't mind running through the perks just from the PvE point of view.
No, I mean not at all. For PvE, I mean, do the barrel perks really matter for PvE? Are you trying to... I mean, what do you get? You get range or stability there, but neither one of those things seems to really matter for in PvE. So
I feel like just handling is the way to go for this gun in PvE. Just, you know, being able to swap more quickly. So fluted barrel, I think, is phenomenal. It does give you a little extra stability on the off chance that makes some kind of difference. Plus 15 handling is really, really great, though. Arrowhead break does give you plus 10 handling, which is not something that we usually talk about it for. And so even though the recoil isn't necessarily doing a lot for you on this gun, the plus 10 handling is nice. I would stay away from chambered compensator. Again, that handling penalty is not worth it here. And extended barrel for the same reason. That's a range and a recoil buff, which are just meaningless. Minus 10 to handling really hurts. Full bore is also a handling penalty that I would avoid. So I think that's pretty much it. It's fluted barrel or corkscrew rifling or arrowhead break. So probably fluted barrel, arrowhead break, then corkscrew rifling in that order is what I would favor.
Do you think liquid coils is worth it in PvE for the additional damage?
I It may be depending on what you're, if you're using this for like general ad clear, it's probably not. But I think, in terms of being able to take down majors with a single burst more consistently, I would probably. I haven't done extensive testing. I don't have liquid coils yet, so I'm hoping I can get one with it because I have a feeling that it's going to make it really great for clearing outlaw sectors.
Like you said, we haven't done testing on this. What I want to do is I want to get one that has like maximum range, and I want one that has maximum stability, and then I want one that has terrible range and terrible stability. And I want to compare like the wall spreads, then I want to compare the lethal distances, and then I want to get one that has liquid coils, and I want to see if that makes like if it turns out that neither range nor stability helps anything. Then I would want liquid coils because the additional damage is always going to help,
Yeah.
right?
That or enhanced batteries, it's always great to have an extra shot in PvE with your special weapon. So I think enhanced battery is a totally viable choice.
And the perk slots, we have actually a good bunch of perks, really, for PvE or
Phenomenal
PvP.
PvP for perks if they only they would do something for you.
Yeah, so Killing Wind, which obviously gives you mobility, range, and handling after a kill. You've got Feeding Frenzy, which is great for PvE. You've got Under Pressure, which is fantastic for PvP. That's one of the perks I haven't gotten yet, and I want it because it improves accuracy as the magazine gets lower. Obviously, in PvP, you only start with two.
Yeah.
Although this was bugged for a period of time to where it got full ammo after two brick pickups in PvP, which unfortunately they fixed. Moving Target, I have found Moving Target to be pretty useful in PvP. Not tremendously useful in PvE. You don't really need it. Ambitious Assassin, on the other hand, very useful in PvE,
Yeah.
and then there's also Pulse Monitor, which is pretty decent for PvP. It basically gives it quick draw and also reloads the magazine when you take critical damage, even if the weapon is low. So Pulse Monitor is definitely a much better perk now that they buffed it. What are you aiming for PvE for this gun?
I'm still kind of thinking that one over. I'm pretty happy, I think, if I get Pulse Monitor or Feeding Frenzy, being able to reload more quickly or having it automatically reload for me, I think is probably what I want. That said, Ambitious Assassin does have its appeal. There are definitely going to be times where I may be clearing a room full of ads and then I want to reload and dump the rest of my ammo into the boss. An Ambitious Assassin plays straight into that. So I feel like it could work out to be pretty decent, but I also think that something like Feeding Frenzy is going to be more consistently useful. Like I said, the jury's still out a little bit. I think there are arguments to be made for a couple of those perks.
And then the last perk slot, obviously Thresh. We already talked about Thresh, fantastic perk. Slideways, like I said, haven't found slideways to do a ton for this gun, unfortunately, which is what's leading me to believe that that and like particle repeater with stability haven't really seen a ton from this gun. Again, I would like to test a gun with maximum stability against a gun with minimum stability. But from the average gun that I have to the gun with plus 10 stability and slideways, I didn't see a ton of difference on it. Eye of the Storm is pretty great for PvP. That is one thing that I did feel making a difference in terms of the bolt spread. Rangefinder, haven't gotten one with Rangefinder yet. I would hope that Rangefinder would also constrain the bolts, but as we know, they nerfed zoom on fusion rifles so that it didn't have as much of an effect, which is back to the way it was in D1. I don't know if you guys remember, but in D1, all fusion rifles had, I think, 1.5 times zoom, or maybe it was less than that. Maybe it was like 1.2
Yeah,
times
it wasn't a
zoom,
lot.
and it was 1.5 because that's what they're at right now. It was 1.5 times zoom, and it didn't matter what scope you gave it. It was the scope visual, but the same 1.5 times zoom because zoom has such an effect on constraining recoil that it made things it made them super overpowered, which is what we saw with Aerontals earlier in the year
Yeah.
when Aerontals were using like a 2.5 times zoom scope and getting super tight bolt spreads. Then it also has Unrelenting, which we've talked about. I'm not a huge fan of. And then it has One For All. It actually seems like One For All was made for this gun, because you can proc it off of a single burst in PvE when you have grouped up ads.
Yeah, I think honestly, Unrelenting or One For All would both fit extremely well on this gun. In terms of how easy it is to just sort of swipe the spray across a group of ads and hit all of them, they both fit in very nicely. One for all, I think, could be a great way to kind of buff your DPS in terms if you're, moving through something like a Lost Sector or a Strike where you're going to have a bunch of adds to wipe out, and then you also want to do damage to the boss. If you're using this gun for both of those things, presumably also running some scav perks and things to keep your ammo from running out very quickly. I think that could be a pretty solid choice. And honestly, if a gun didn't have Thresh as an option, that's what I'd be looking at. But the thought of just getting my super up that much faster, if using this gun the same way, and it already does great damage for a fusion rifle, I feel like Thresh just overshadows what otherwise would be some really interesting perks.
Absolutely. So I think that's it for Core Hulls Force. We will revisit that at some point in time in the future.
Definitely.
Once I've done some more testing on it. Because like I said, every once in a while I get these ideas and some of them don't pan out. But I have a feeling that if I could figure out a way to really tighten up that bolt spread, it would be absolutely disgusting in PvP. But I think liquid coils might have something to do with it. But we'll figure it out. So moving on to the heavy weapons. We have thermal erosion, which is the machine gun. Now, thermal erosion is a rapid fire machine gun. What that means is it has a lightning fast optimal TTK that is basically impossible to hit. 0.47 seconds with 8 crits, you're never getting that.
Yeah.
But the body shot TTK is also quite fast at 0.67 seconds, which would be tied for the fastest optimal TTK of most primary weapons. I think there are some sidearms that kill slightly faster. So the problem with rapid fires is that at 900 RPM, a lot of them also have god-awful recoil direction,
Yeah.
and it makes them very, very difficult to use. I found thermal erosion to actually be what I would consider almost impossible to use without either Arrowhead Break or Chamber Compensator and a Counterbalance mod. I tried one that did not have either of the two barrel perks, and I put a Counterbalance mod on it, and it was still basically unusable. The recoil is wildly horizontal, and it climbs incredibly quickly, even with a lot of stability perks on it, just because the rate of fire is so fast. So I'm going to go ahead and go over the stats here real quick. The range is terrible, like all rapid fires at 33. Stability is also bad at 38. For comparison, guys, the only rapid fire that I really, really recommend people use, I don't know that you can actually get anymore. Maybe you can get it out of that little kiosk in the tower, but it's the 21% Delirium,
Yeah.
which was the Gambit Pinnacle one, because that came with a base stability of 70, a base recoil direction of 60, and a base range of 50, all of which are the best by a substantial margin. We have yet to see a rapid fire machine gun live up to that name. But thermal erosion has a reload speed of 61, which is okay, has handling of 39, which is average, aim assist is 66, which is average for average for machine guns, but low for the rapid fires, which are, it's not a huge window, but generally they're generally 68 or 70. The recoil direction is 50, which is atrocious. Something we've noticed about all these European weapons, man, they just have awful recoil
Yeah.
direction. I don't know why they did this to them, but. And then the inventory is also kind of small at 32, and the mag size is up there at 65, which is low for a rapid fire, but high for everything else. So again, for this gun, you only really need two barrel perks. You need Arrowhead Break or you need Chamber Compensator. If you get Arrowhead Break, you can probably get away without using a Counterbalance mod. If you have Chamber Compensator, you absolutely need a Counterbalance mod.
Yeah, I mean it's really hard to argue with that in any way. I was hopeful. I got one with chambered compensator and ricochet rounds, and I was like, hey, this is pretty solid. It's pretty, starting off pretty well. I had quick draw, which I love on a machine gun in PvP. Man, it's just like I just can't use it. It's just too wild, too uncontrollable.
Yeah, it's really hard to do. And again, you're still going to want a bunch of stability, so you really need ricochet rounds and the mag slot. You could also do flared magwell, but ricochet rounds is going to be the better option there. I wouldn't even really look at any of the other
Yeah.
things. I mean, I'm not kidding when I tell you these 900s, maybe on mouse and keyboard, they're a little different. On controller, you really need some stability on these things because they just climb. Like, they climb right out of your hands. But in the first perk slot, you can actually get Zen Moment, which I have one with Zen Moment. Helps a lot. It's pretty noticeable because it hits shots so fast. It hits a max Zen Moment stack really quickly. So that, compared with ricochet rounds and Arrowhead Break, that's actually one of the rolls that I have. Feels great. Feels
Nice.
like using like an auto rifle, right? But it's way more lethal, obviously. So I really like that. Hipfire Grip, I try to stay away from. Killing Wind, I think would be decent if it were a gun that didn't need so much help in other directions. I will say that for PvE, field prep is an excellent choice. It pretty dramatically increases your ammo reserves. And if you're doing DPS, you can just crouch to start the reload process.
Yeah, it's really phenomenal, I think, in PvE. Absolutely. This gun has I don't know, it's funny, a lot of these European guns have just tons of really phenomenal perks that they sort of, the gun itself sometimes fails to live up to. So I don't know if Bungie's trying things out, giving us worse stats, better perk selections. Maybe that's what's going on here. I don't know.
Yeah, and then the last perk slot, Demolitionist. If you're doing DPS, Demolitionist is probably your best bet.
Oh, yeah.
Because like you said, you can throw the grenade to reload. If you have field prep, you've got increased reserves. You can do a lot of damage with this gun doing that. Dragonfly, decent for PvE if you're using this to clean up adds. Wellspring, we've already talked about a bunch. It's okay. I would not prioritize it here. For PvP, you're really only looking at two options, either dynamic sway reduction or tap the trigger. I personally prefer tap the trigger just because it instantly procs when you fire, as opposed to dynamic sway reduction, which requires you to fire like five or six shots or somewhere around there before it activates. So it activates towards the tail end of the engagement instead of towards the beginning of the engagement. I prefer activating at the beginning. And then there's also snapshot sights, which I find to be mostly useless on this gun.
Yeah, my current role has snapshot sights, and it's totally meaningless. So I would agree, PvP, tap the trigger is the top tier choice. DSR is really strong in a lot of cases, but these guns, I don't know. The engagement is either over really, really quickly, and it hasn't really mattered a lot, or else you're just spraying a ton of bullets, and you're sort of wasting them, I think. I think tap the trigger is going to be... I don't know. I hate to say anything bad about dynamic sway reduction. It's such a good perk overall.
It is a good perk. It's actually a phenomenal perk once it gets activated. It's really, really good. It's very, very strong. But because it's a machine gun, I just find like tap the trigger is a little stronger. Also, I guess we'd be remiss to mention that like you can use, if you're using this gun for PvE, for DPS, you could put like a pendant mag or extended mag or something on this gun if you really want to just like massively... drive the magazine size up if that's what you're interested in, right? Like, you know, if you want to do arrowhead break, because you don't need stability as much in PvE when you're doing boss damage. You can kind of control it on your own.
Yeah.
So if you want to do, like, arrowhead break and then appended mag, field prep, demolitionist, that would be actually a really great PvE boss damage gun.
Yeah, you'd be putting out so many rounds. Holy cow. That'd be amazing.
Let's see, and then the last one is the Sub-Zero Salvo, which is a rocket launcher. It is a precision frame rocket launcher, which means it gets the Hake tracking, basically. But that also means that it has a pretty pitifully small blast radius at 65. The velocity is below average at 53, which is actually small even for other precision rocket launchers, which usually have a 60-plus velocity. Stability doesn't matter at all. Reload speed is slow, but they all are. It's at 31. Handling is 47, inventory size is 34, mag size is 1, as is usual. I actually really like this gun. Number one reason, because it has a brand new perk called Chain Reaction, which is basically Firefly for explosive weapons.
Yeah.
So each final blow of this weapon creates an elemental damage explosion, just like Firefly, using a rocket launcher. So it's basically cluster bombs, except for the adds themselves are the cluster bombs.
Yeah.
And they explode all over the place. So I really, really like Chain Reaction. I actually also like it for PvP too, just because it's incredibly hilarious. And I find it to be slightly more effective than Cluster Bomb is. Cluster Bomb is usually my go-to just because there's the off chance that you do a little bit extra damage. But, you know, I think Chain Reaction is just a little bit better.
I could see that. You know, if you shoot that rocket and you kill one person and there was somebody else who was close enough to take a little bit of damage from the explosion, but not enough to kill them, I think Chain Reaction is probably more likely to be enough to finish them off than Cluster Bombs. And it says Cluster Bombs is so random. But those elemental damage explosions are, you know, basically a perfect spherical radius, right? So it seems more likely that they would pick up the cleanup for you on a consistent basis. So I could see how that would work out.
Now, of course, cluster bombs is going to be a better option for you if you're doing boss damage, right? We'll talk about that in a second. But so for me, because it's tracking, I actually don't want to up velocity too much because the tracking is slightly easier if the velocity isn't exceedingly high.
Yeah.
It's not going to hurt you if the velocity is a little bit higher. I just find that the slower velocity enables the rocket to track a little bit more when a player moves, whereas the higher velocity, if the player dodges appropriately, if the rocket seems to just fly past him. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to max out blast radius. And the way I would do that is probably by using either like linear compensator or volatile launch. Volatile launch would actually be my preferred option, or maybe confined launch. Volatile launch gives you plus 15 to blast radius, minus 5 to velocity. Confined launch gives you plus 10 to blast radius, minus 10 to velocity. So I'm probably going to take a volatile launch there. If I don't get it, then confined launch. If I don't get that, then linear compensator, which is plus 5 to blast radius and plus 5 to velocity. You have some other options like quick launch, which is just plus velocity. I would try to stay away from that. Smart drift control, which is plus velocity and plus handling plus recoil. That's not bad for PvE. And the reason being is because for PvE, you want the blast radius to be smaller because you don't want those cluster bombs. Sorry, for PvE, for boss damage, there's like two uses.
Yes.
There's anti-ad usage and then there's boss damage usage. Although nobody's using rocket launchers right now for boss damage because they're just terrible for boss damage. But if you were using it for boss damage,
which is
you
weird,
want the blast radius to be small and you want the velocity to be high, right? So if that's the case, then something like smart drift control, which also increases your handling speed. You could do counter mass, which just increases your handling speed. You could do hard launch, which reduces your blast radius and increases your velocity by 15. I think that's actually probably the best bet for PvE is hard launch.
Yep, I would agree. If rockets were the go-to thing right now.
Which they're not. And then in the mag slot, there's only one option for PvE, boss damage, and that's impact casing, which increases damage on direct hits. You could also, for PvE, use alloy casing, which greatly increases reload speed. The only cost is stability, which nobody cares about. For PvP, I obviously use black powder because it increases the blast radius. For PvE, boss damage again. If you don't get impact casing, which impact casing is by far what you want, if you don't get impact casing, then high velocity rounds is your next best bet. High velocity rounds is going to give you plus 10 to velocity, or you could use implosion rounds, which implosion rounds give you plus 10 to velocity and minus 10 to blast radius.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like you really have three possible options for this rocket launcher. You have PvE normal, PvE boss damage, and then PvP. Right? So PvE normal and PvE boss damage are very, very different. Very, very different options, what you're choosing from, right? Like for PvE normal, you wouldn't want to hurt your blast radius. But for boss damage, if you're using cluster bombs, you very much want to hurt your blast radius.
Yeah.
So it's a very complicated process, and altogether, it's just not worth it because rocket launchers are so terrible for DPS right now. So,
pretty much, all that there is to say about that. In the next perk slot, we've got, you know, again, the European weapons. I think all of them. It's six perks in each of the trade slots, right? Yeah. So that's kind of interesting. So trade slot one, we've got Killing Wind, which is so great on so many guns, but for me, for rocket launchers, I feel like it just, you know, all you're really benefiting from there is the mobility and the handling, which are both great, but I'm not 100% sure that it's worth it here, although there aren't that many other choices.
Right. For PvP, I would probably have to take Quick Draw.
Yeah.
And, you know, for PvE, it's like, well, Ambitious Assassin is probably the best bet for PvE. Underdog, I'm not a huge fan of. Surplus, I mean, for this, what are you going to do? Moving target? Do you really need aim assist on a rocket launcher, right? Like Killing
Wind, on a tracking rocket launcher.
Yeah, Killing Wind can increase the velocity a little bit, I assume, if that's what range does on a rocket launcher, right? But we don't know for a fact that it does that.
That's very difficult to measure. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think Quick Draw may just be kind of the go-to all around because it's always great to be able to put the rocket launcher away quickly in PvE. That's a nice perk to have. Surplus, I could see for boss DPS as your abilities may be up during the DPS phase, and so you may actually see a significant benefit in terms of the handling and the reload speed.
But at the same time, for Ambitious Assassin, it's like, again, this is where we get into the split between PvE. Like, Ambitious Assassin isn't going to help for shit against boss DPS.
Yeah.
Right? But it's extraordinarily helpful for normal PvE if you're trying to kill ads with it.
Yep.
So, really, when I do the written breakdown for this, I'm going to have to split it into three groups because it's so incredibly different. Like, you literally can have a different version of the same rocket launcher that you equip before you do DPS because the functionality is so different. And then, you know, in the last trait slot, you have Thresh, which Thresh would be great if you're using it for normal PvE. Terrible for boss DPS.
Yep.
Unrelenting would be great for normal PvE because you can get multiple kills immediately and just immediately regen health. Snapshot Sights is pretty much useless. Although Snapshot isn't actually that bad in PvP.
Yeah.
Because it allows you to fire more quickly. Especially after you jump, there's like this delay period before you can ADS. I always just hip fire, but because it has tracking, you really want to be ADS. So Snapshot's not bad for PvP. But chain reaction, in my opinion, is what you really want this rocket for. Because if you don't have chain reaction, in PvP, what you're really looking for is blast radius. So that you can near miss people and kill them. Blast radius is really the name of the game. The tracking helps, but the tracking's not always the most reliable in PvP.
People will dodge.
And then demolitionist. Demolitionist is great for boss damage, PvE. And cluster bomb is great for boss damage, PvE. So either one of those two first options. So kind of a confusing gun. Almost not worth it. But, you know, at the same time, I find myself collecting them because I'm like, one day I know. One day I know that rocket launchers are going to be good for boss damage.
Again. Someday Sub-Zero Salvo will be the meta. Maybe. I mean, it's got... I kind of am coming back to, like, these European guns, on the whole, Bungie has given us some really phenomenal perk choices, some really interesting perk choices. Even though the guns themselves don't always hold up. So it's an interesting set of weapons, and it's been fun to break them down, and I'm looking forward now to going and collecting more versions of them to try to figure out what I want to keep.
There it is. Well, that's it for the special and heavy European weapons. Hopefully later this week, I'll be able to raid if I can finally get this stuff set up. I'm supposed to get my couches in on Wednesday. So if I get my couches in on Wednesday, then maybe I can get set up and I can raid on like Wednesday night, and then we can talk about the raid weapons on Thursday.
Let's push, because I'm going to raid Saturday, hopefully. Let's push raid weapons out to next week or to the week after, I guess, depending on when you're hearing this. I think there's so much going on right now to talk about.
Well, there's actually a whole other set of weapons. Yeah. We can get all the hunt weapons, which aren't particularly...
We've got the exotics yet to break down, too.
Although, listen to this, I did get, like, the god roll of the hunt grenade launcher, and I just instantly dismantled it because I'm so used to just, like, dismantling those guns because they're all terrible, and it was an Ambitious Assassin auto-loading holster one.
Oh my god.
And I was like, I noticed it like as I was holding down the X and I like let off the X and it dismantled. I was like, no. I was like, oh, I wasn't going to use it anyway. So it is what it is. But yeah, no, there's definitely some stuff we can talk about. There's some other weapons. So we'll do another weapons breakdown next week, guys.
Yep.
But I guess until then, we'll see you around.
All right. Peace out.